exploded in me to such a degree, man. I was so excited. I went out, and this brother was there in the house, and I went out and I said, "Man, you got to listen to this." And I shared it, and he was kind of, "Oh yeah, oh yeah." Well, he didn't get it, but there was a seed planted in him. And not only that, it helped me cement it in me. So the sharing of what God was doing in my life was important for him, but it was important for me. We need to acknowledge, even in a greater capacity, what God is doing and who he is. Why? Because the world needs an authentic person who has a relationship with God, sharing what God is doing in their life. I'm all for the four spiritual laws tracts. I'm all about handing that out. I'm all about sharing different things. But the best testimony, the best witnessing tool is what God has done for you. Come on. What has God done for me? I mean, everything. Years ago, I was at work, and many of you have heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again. I was at work, and we'd been working 12-hour days, 7 days a week, going on about 3 months of that. You get tired after that, right? Well, there was pressure on the shop to get things done and all of that. And so the foreman at our safety meeting gave us some more motivation. He chewed us out. So we went back down to the floor. I was working with Tom, and Tom looked over at me, and he comes and he says, "Dugan, you were in the same meeting I was. Why do you have a smile on your face?" And I just turned to him. I said, "Tom, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus." What was I doing? I was acknowledging the faith that was in me because of my relationship with him. Whew. Come on, he's here. He's in us. He's doing great things tonight. I acknowledge that his presence is in me. And the more you become aware of that, the more you can become a witness for him in a way that makes sense to them. Right? God wants to use you in a powerful way, but if you think that your witness is not as important as somebody else's witness because your story isn't as grandiose as somebody else, the enemy has just put a lid on you. And he's got you right where you want you. Right? Right? But when you get an understanding of who God is, it makes all the difference in the world. Now watch this. Years ago, my sister called me and she said that her friend's mom was dying, but she was a Christian. She was in the hospital and wondered if I'd come to see her. I said, "Sure, I'll come. I'll come." Now, I was going as a pastor, but you see, not really. I'm going as a believer. And on the way up there and praying, I just said, "Lord, I just thank you that I'm going to represent you, but you're going to be with me. Your spirit is living on the inside of me. I want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do." You know, we got up there. They were cleaning the rooms. So we were all standing out in the hall. But I sensed the anointing on me really strong. You know, really strong. And I waited, and we got in. We did all the pleasantry things, and this one was talking, this one. And then it was my turn. And so I slid a chair right up next to the bed, and I grabbed her hand. And I said, "I just want you to know that Jesus is here. There are angels in this room. Did I see them? No, but I knew they were there." I said, "The presence of God is here, and I'm telling you." And what was I doing? I was sharing what I know because I've experienced. And I know him. I know that I'm his ambassador. I know that I go on His behalf, and I know that He goes with me, and that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, and that He gives me words to say when I don't even know what to say. Right? But that's not because I'm a pastor, that's because I'm a believer. And each one of us have that capacity. Now watch, this is really interesting. There was a gal there who wasn't part of the family, but she was a good family friend. She was a good Mormon lady from Eastern Washington. And I left, and my sisters were still there with Kathy and her mom and this lady. And they said, this lady says, "Wow, I felt Jesus in this room." See, my faith, my relationship with God, and my understanding that made me available, but also made me an effective witness. Because I acknowledged who He is, but not just who He is, I acknowledged who He is in me. But He's not just that in me. This Paul's writing to this man, he's saying, acknowledge who He is in you. So tonight, all of us, we need to acknowledge who God is in us. I think there's some specifics, but listen, we need to have effective faith. Effective, it's active, it's powerful, it's operative. Your faith should be seen and demonstrated. And I'm not talking about just going, you know, yelling in tongues in the store and you know, trying to get everybody out of a wheelchair. But what I'm saying is that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And God, You can use me to love somebody else. Right? And you know what I've noticed? That especially if the Lord speaks to you and you say to somebody, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And you start out the prayer with, "I just want you to know that this is what the Lord has done for me. He loves me, and I know that He loves you, and I just want, you know, what can I pray for you about?" Or if it's obvious, you just, "Lord, use me." And don't even worry about what you're going to pray, because in that self-same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you, because your faith and your fellowship or your sharing of that faith will be effective because of the One who's working in you. But it will become effective as you acknowledge it in you. Remember David the other night, he had us, we're strong in the Lord, right? And he had us say, "I'm strong in the Lord." Had our put our hands on our belly and, "I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong." What was he doing? He was having us acknowledge what our relationship with God produces in us. And when you get that to be working on the inside of you, and all of a sudden you're going, "Man, how did I do that?" You go, "Oh, it's because of the strength that God gave me." Right? "How did I get through that? How did I endure that? How did I, you know, speak to that person? How did I, you know, get through my day? How did I love my idiot boss that's irritating?" Right? I mean, how did I do that? Because I got inside of my heart God's love for him more than I had my own interest at heart. And so I began to say, right? It's working in me. It's working in me. It's working in me. It's acknowledging the things that are in you. How do we do this? How do we get this into us? By telling of what you know about Jesus and what He has done in you and through you. Let's go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. It's quite a lengthy story. We may cut it down a little bit, but I just love this story. But remember, it's in the context of we need to acknowledge, not only to ourselves, but to others in sharing of our faith, what God is doing in us. What has God done? What has God done for you? If I told you, and I want you to write down, you know, on a piece of paper, one-page paper, acknowledge what God has done in you in the last month. How many could do it? Right? Yeah, I could. We all could, right? Because when we begin to think about it, things will come. Right? It's so good. So chapter 9 and verse 1. It said, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" And I love that. They're trying to figure out what the cause of this thing. And Jesus just, he said, "Neither this man nor the parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed to them. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Just a side note, when he was leaving, he said, "Now you're the light of the world." So if we're the light of the world, then we should be doing the same work that the light was doing when he was lighting up the world. And again, that's not us individually, but that's definitely us collectively. That's why the koinonia of our faith is so important. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, isn't that something? It's a good thing he was blind. Right? Jesus is going to pray for him. What's he going to do? Don't worry about it. And then he said to him, "Go wash off in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. And he went and washed, and he became back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not who was sat and begged?" And some said, "This is he." Others said, "Oh, he's like him." He said, "I'm he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received sight." When they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." So they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus had made the clay and opened the eyes, and the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. Then they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." They didn't like that. And the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and that he received his sight until they called his parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" Come on. "Is this your son, really? Come on." And his parents said, "We know that this is our son, but and he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, nor is he opened his eye, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself." What they were really saying is, "We don't want to be in trouble with you, because we want to keep on your good side, so we're not answering you. Ask him." Now watch, this is so good. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, and the Jews had agreed already, if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they called the man again. This is so good. Called the man again who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered and he said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, though I was blind, I now see. And then they said to him, what did he do to you, and how did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, and he said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. And the man answered and said to them, why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes? Come on. I said all of that to say, this man could have given a dissertation from the book of Isaiah and from this and from that and said, these five principles, you'll get your eyes open. If you know somebody that's blind, you spit on the ground, you make some clay, but it's got to be just the right, and you get just the right amount of spit with the right amount of clay, you know, and here's the five steps to being healed by spitting. No, he said, this is what he said. I don't know any of that. I don't even know if it's okay according to your religion. I don't even know if you'll accept this, but what I want to tell you is that I was blind and now I see. Jesus, who I'm now feeling is a prophet, because he did what God shared with him, and when he shared it with Jesus acted on that and shared it with me. And so there was the effective sharing of faith that went on. And now this man says, listen, we can argue doctrine all day, but I just got to let you know. I was blind, but now I see. So when we use our witness, what God has done for us, it validates the very belief. I'll tell you another story. There's a man, I lived in Tulsa, but this man was from Tulsa, and he was a welder, and they were welding these big tanks. And if you've worked in the shipyard or you worked anywhere with tanks, you don't go in a tank by yourself. You have a tank watch that's sitting right outside of the tank, so if anything happens, they can get whatever help is necessary. Anyway, so the guy that was inside of the tank, and the fellow that I'm talking about was outside of the tank. And all day long, this man was bashing Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts this, Oral Roberts that, he's just after the money, blah, 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 blah. You know, just hammering him all day. They went to lunch, came back all afternoon, just really on him. He's trying to get this city of faith, and he's got all this money. He's just after the money, blah, blah, blah. You know, just really ragging on him. So about 2 o'clock, he came out for break, and the guy that's sitting at the tank watch is sitting outside listening to all this. He said, well, what do you think? He said, well, when I was 5 years old, I had a club foot. And my mom took me to an Oral Roberts meeting. Oral Roberts prayed for me, and my foot straightened out immediately. You know, the guy didn't speak bad of Oral Roberts after that to him. Why? Because he gave testimony of what God did through somebody else, but it was to him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, you acknowledging what God is doing in you, it absolutely gives voice to the validity of that God is alive, that He's real, that He's working. So become more aware of what God is doing and begin to share it. Now that's one side of the equation. I'm not going to be able to get into all of it, but go back to Philemon chapter 1 one more time. Anybody getting anything today? Come on. God is so good. God has done so many wonderful things for me. I've got to tell you that the story I told you about his club foot, when my daughter Donnie was born and she came out, she was in the womb kind of, and her foot was under like this, right? And the doctor said, well, it might come out on its own, but probably, you know, in a week or two, we're going to have to do some surgery and straighten it out. And I said, you won't have to do any surgery. It'll be healed in Jesus' name. It'll be whole in Jesus' name. Pop. And it's been fine ever since. Why? Because God made a promise, and I acknowledged that promise, and I stood on that promise. So part of this, again, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We need to know what's in us in Christ Jesus. But it's not just enough to know what is in us in Christ Jesus. We need to acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. And sometimes the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus, we don't believe yet. But the more we acknowledge them, the more they become real to us. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll wind down. Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Did you know that you're made in the very image of God? Did you know that He knows every hair on your head? Did you know that He knows every thought that you've ever had? It is a little scary, but the reality is, and the good thing is the blood of Jesus even cleanses our conscience. Oh, glory to God. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of Ephesians says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember, we have to acknowledge the things that are in us in Christ Jesus. So say this with me. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm not waiting to get blessed. I'm not hoping that somebody lay hands on me and bless me. Although there's nothing wrong necessarily with that. But we've got to begin to acknowledge that I'm already blessed. How much more is there than all? Was there, if I had all the money in the world, how much money would be left? Nobody would have any because I had it all. Right? I mean, is that right? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. King James says all spiritual blessings. Just as He chose us in Him in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I knew He to acknowledge that He chose me before the foundation of the world. And because He chose me and I chose Him and I'm walking with Him, I'm holy. I'm not telling you everything I do is holy. And definitely not everything I think is holy. But I need to acknowledge that I'm holy because He's made me holy. I'm not holy in me. I'm holy in Christ Jesus. I need to acknowledge that. I need to acknowledge that I'm without blame before Him in love because I'm in Christ Jesus. You see, if any of you have a guilt complex or a complex that I'm not good enough, I'm not whatever, you need to acknowledge what He's done in you. You got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself what's up. Why? Because when you get a revelation or you begin to acknowledge that and you begin to declare that's true, then you can go to somebody else who's suffering the same thing. And when we get together, you can say, oh, wait a minute. That's how I used to feel. But let me tell you what the Holy Spirit did in me when I started to acknowledge that I no longer am living under blame. Are you with me? So when you read these scriptures, you need to meditate on them. In fact, if you're suffering from something, whatever it is, you need to get a hold of the scripture. Go through the New Testament, find out what Jesus paid the price for, and begin to acknowledge that rather than talking about what you're going through. I'm so weak. No, I have the joy of the Lord on the inside of me. His strength has become my strength. I don't know what to do. I have the mind of Christ. Come on. Look at verse 6, and we'll close with verse 6. No, we won't. We'll go to verse 7 too. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You need to acknowledge to yourself, I am accepted in the Beloved. I'm not second class. I'm not, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm sure there's going to be a cabin way on the outskirts of heaven that's going to be mine, because I'm not as loved as Billy Graham. I'm not as loved as, you know, sister, whoever you put in there. But the reality is, I'm as loved as Jesus is loved. But I need to acknowledge that, because Christ in me has made me that. Oh, glory to God. Time has expired. But did you get what I'm saying tonight? We need to begin to acknowledge, to tell people what God has done for us. Quit telling them how worthless you are. Tell them, listen, man, I just got to tell you, I'm loved by God. And when they start to tell you about your past, you just say, well, you know, I understand that. I'm not saying that I didn't do those things. But all of those things are under the blood. He's taken away my shame, so therefore I refuse to be ashamed another second. Guilt has no place in me because He's removed it. I'm holy, I'm chosen, I'm beloved, I'm free. I'm not bound by anything. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that if anybody's watching or anybody's here that needs a touch from You, Lord, I just ask You to do it right now in Jesus' name. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I just got to tell you, when I accepted Jesus as Lord of my life, everything in me changed. I became a new creature, didn't even know it. But God loves you enough that if you just seek Him, just call out to Him and just say, God, if you're even real, show me Yourself. He'll do it. But acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. Say, Lord, I need Jesus to take away my sin, but I believe that You did the work on the cross, and Jesus, You're now my Lord. If you'll do that, you'll be saved. Glory to God, then grow in Him. But if you're here tonight, and you just say, I just need more of Jesus. I just need to acknowledge what I have in Jesus. Just do that right now. Say, Jesus. Everybody, Jesus, You've done so much for me. I just want to acknowledge it. I just want to give You praise. I want to thank You for taking away my shame, taking away my pain, taking away my broken heart. Thank You, Lord, for giving me a spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, I thank You, God, for putting joy in my heart. And I just give You all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.